Thank you for listening to Cat's Tea and Witchcraft. My name is Fauna, and I am your host. This podcast is for those who are Wiccan, witches, and everything in between. Don't forget to follow the podcast's Instagram page at Cat's Tea and Witchcraft, and you can send an email at catsteaandwitchcraftpodcast@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening to the podcast. Enjoy the episode. Hello, witchy peeps. Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 134. This is another interview episode, and this one is just a really fun, fluid conversation with the guest. So I'm not going to explain too much and just let you listen to it. Okay, everybody, like I told you in the beginning of the episode, we have another guest today. They are a witch. They're a store owner, and they are just overall pretty dang cool. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hi, guys. My name is Beck Lawrence. You might know me as the Stitching Witch on, like, social media, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And I also own and operate the Serpent's Key Shop and Sanctuary right here in Hanover, Pennsylvania. So thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I've been following your content for quite a while, and you always have such interesting posts between the shop and just kind of your practice and views and perspectives, and you always have like really cute outfits stuff like that. So it looks like you've had a very busy year.
Yeah.
And so you've been doing so many different things.
Yeah, so this past year, I opened up my metaphysical store right here in, like, little rural Hanover, PA. And if you have been following the news, you might have seen my run-ins with the local law enforcement. So
I did see that. Yeah. That sounds like it was a doozy.
Yeah, you know, definitely kicking off our first year in business with a bang, like, have to say, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was pretty nuts. It was not expected.
Yeah. So that seemed like that was pretty wild. Mm-hmm. And so let's just go over the shop in general. Like, what made you want to open your shop? And there specifically, what sort of things does it offer? And, like, what are just kind of the cool ins and outs of owning a metaphysical shop? Because it's very niche, especially for a more rural area, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. So I have been practicing witchcraft and in this world. I initiated myself into Wicca when I was, like, 13. Mm-hmm. Like, I was reading Silver Ravenwolf's, like, Dried and Silver Broomstick. And ever since I discovered that, I just, like, I knew this is what I was supposed to be. I was like, aha, so I can be a witch. Excellent.
Exactly.
So how I got to Hanover is kind of a long story. I went to school right outside Baltimore and got a job at a menswear tailoring firm kind of close to where I live now. Mm-hmm. And after COVID, I realized, like, hey, this is killing my soul. I don't want to do this anymore. So in 2021, I, like, quit to start working as, like, the social media person and studio assistant at a local tattoo shop. Amazing. It's all run by, like, women, and it's just, like, a very safe space.
Love tattoos.
It's amazing. I love that. I love them. They're the best artists ever. But it's Bluebird Tattoo Studio, in case anyone wants to know. Anyways. Not last October, but, like, 2 years ago, we had some artists leave, and that kind of opened up a free space for me. So I was like, hey, I'll just, like, pay the rent if you want, if you can let me read my tarot cards out of the supply closet. So in January, I started with my first space, which was literally a supply closet. Then we knocked out, like, half of it, like, all the storage area to essentially double my space. Last March, so about a year ago, which is really crazy to think about. And then in July, I got what is now my current storefront, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. So it's been quite the journey here. And then, you know, I spent the summer kind of establishing everything, and then the police showed up in October, and that's when things really, really got, I don't know, just, like, more fun, more real. Like, people kind of...
Spicy.
Yeah, people heard about the shop and were like, oh, what are you guys doing here? That's so illegal. And I'm like, nothing. Like, literally, I just have candles and, like, crystals and stuff. And, like, I sometimes use the F word. Like, I don't really know, like, what's so scary about this place. But the reason that I started my shop, the way that we work, everything here is like either locally made or made by like small artisans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I, and this is no shade to anybody being like a business owner at all, like, because like same, I do this too, but I was really tired of going to metaphysical stores and just seeing the same things, like seeing like sage bundles, seeing the same tapestries, seeing the same
statues,
right? Which is totally fine, like, don't get me wrong, totally cool, and people need access to that 100%. But I am friends with a lot of artists, and I'm a friend mm-hmm. with a lot of makers. And by my work in the creative fields, whether it is fashion or in, like, in the tattoo world, like, mm-hmm. I just saw all of this talent where I'm like, why, like, we can make this witchy, like, you know, or 100%. Like, if people are already doing it, how can I support my friends and create this sort of like artist collective, where we're all kind of helping each other out. So, mm-hmm. I'm very grateful to all the vendors who have like trusted me with their work and stuff, because it is really, really incredible. But yeah, everything around here and like in our shop is like made like by witches for witches, which is really mm-hmm. amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. And is everything going okay with the run-in with the law?
Yes. So far, so good. I highly doubt after, you know, the rigmarole that we went through, I highly doubt they're going to be coming back to bother me. But if they do, I do have, like, protections in place. I got in contact with a lawyer, and we are starting, like, the legal process to get the law overturned so that no witch in Pennsylvania ever has to go through that again. Because let me tell you, it's unpleasant.
A lot of old rules are still out there, even mm-hmm. though they are completely ridiculous. And if you don't know, you don't know. And maybe that will be because another move, because I saw it on social media mm-hmm. through following you. But then I also saw it through other outlets who were mm-hmm. also talking about it, and other people on social media who are talking about the opinions on stuff. So it definitely, one way or another, brought up good conversations.
Yes.
But in a really unfortunate, stressful situation for you.
Like, honestly, like, I'm kind of glad that it happened to me, like, in a weird way, because, like, I'm fine. Like, I know that I would be fine. Like, whereas I would just hate for someone else to do that. Like, no offense. Like, I, oh my gosh. Not to be weird, but, like, men don't love me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I get into a lot of fights with men. So I wasn't shocked, like, you know, that my loud mouth and being like, I'm the town witch, like, got me in trouble with the police. Like, I'm not shocked, but it is hilarious, like, at this point.
It does make sense to me, especially since it sounds like you're in a rural area. They're not used to those kind of people.
Right.
Sometimes they think they can just, depending on the law and the situation, maybe like it is or isn't, but like they'll try to, the intimidation one or another. And sometimes it's just they think they give you a look or talk mm-hmm. to you a couple times, and that could happen with anything and within management and just different things. So, but it sounds like you definitely have your protections in place and you took all the right moves as a business owner, getting to a lawyer. So, anyone else who may find themselves in weird situations, just pre-plan and have those backups just in case, because you never know what's going to happen, especially if you're a business owner. Having a lawyer or the option to get one is definitely important, because businesses are really complicated.
Right, because even though, like, I am in this magical world of, like, spells and potions and crystals, like, I still pay taxes. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I still got to deal with the IRS. Like, that's still sucks, you know? So
Honestly, that sounds more scary than summoning something unexpectedly.
Oh, I would rather literally summon Satan himself than have to do my taxes alone. Like,
that's why I pay people to do that,
like,
for me.
I'm gonna do something wrong.
Yes, I don't want to be wearing orange all the time. I would rather be wearing what the Satan gives me, if that's who I summon.
Listen, I know that he would have, like, the most beautiful, luxurious robes. Like,
comfortable, silky and warm, but cool at the same time.
Exactly. You got it.
I'm just imagining these perfect, warm and cool silk, like, robes.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
So stylish. Okay, so you sound like you have a really cool setup going on, and it seems like it's still relatively new. How has business been? People outside of the run-in with the police coming to you? It's not like you went looking for it. How has the community overall or the witchy community as well reacted to your shop?
I mean, it's only been positive. Like, I feel bad because everyone's just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened to you. That's so awful. And like, yeah, sure, it is. Like, don't get me wrong, it was pretty stressful. But because of that, I feel like I almost put out like a bat signal to like every like goth person, every witch, every like queer teenager, like in the, Hanover area.
They're like, we
I
gotta
was like,
support.
hey, dude, you can be like, it's okay to be like that. You can come hang out here, and this is a safe place. 'Cause like, if the cops come back, you think I'm not gonna stand up to them again? Like, I got you. So in a really beautiful way, like October, November, December were probably like the craziest 3 months of my life. Like, I don't think my door closed, like
Oh
at
my
all.
gosh.
Like, it was nuts. And I'm so grateful for that. Don't get me wrong. Oh my gosh. But it definitely, like, I think the biggest thing for me that I just, that made me, like, my heart just, like, so full. I have a lot of, like, moms who come in and they're like, oh, my teenage daughter would love this place. And, like, as someone who didn't have that support as a teenager, like,
That's
it's
nice to see.
so nice to see that sort of shift. Where it's like, oh yeah, I'm not gonna hide this from my kid. Like, I'm gonna share it with them because they would like it, and it, I
That's
know it's not
awesome.
scary.
That's awesome. Yeah, and like that's really nice to hear and see, 'cause that's how I hope I'll be, well, how depending on what things are trendy back in the future. And stuff. And then, like, that's really cool. My mom does that now with different things. She'll buy me, like, little things, even if they're, like, a little cheesy. It's just like, oh, it's the thought that counts. Or
100%.
she'll have, like, a conversation with someone and they're like, they do this witchy stuff too. And I'm like, how did that come up?
Yeah, right.
Like,
I'm like,
why are you talking to them about that in particular? Maybe talk to them about my boring job versus, like, my spirituality. Like, that's a weird conversation. But me, it's her trying to connect with people and her realizing I'm not as weird as I
Oh,
am, even though she loves
definitely.
me,
Yeah,
but
my.
it's her way of understanding it a little better.
Yes, definitely. I think that my family like didn't realize like how like serious this kind of stuff is. Not that they like thought it was a joke or anything, don't get me wrong,
And
but
how
I
extensive it is out
yeah, like
there.
how popular or like how many people adhere to the same sort of belief system or at least within these realms because we accept all like faiths and paths here. I'm kind of like just an eclectic pagan, so it's like, I mean, whatever. Like, we're cool.
Yeah,
But yeah,
exactly.
I don't know that they knew like how big it was until like things blew up, which is cool. Like, I was like, hello, yes, I am a witch. Surprise, it's my job now.
Were they like, oh, you're cute little business, and they were like, oh,
Yeah, they were
this is
like,
a
oh, this is
business.
like, do you have an accountant? Do you have a lawyer? Like, what are you? Like, it was so sweet. It was amazing.
Nice. Okay, so you did mention that you consider yourself like an eclectic pagan.
Yeah.
How about we start going over a little bit about that sort of path between the mix of pagan and witchy, because they're kind of an overlapping but still their own things. How
Right.
about we go maybe a little bit about your history, how you got into it?
Yeah, sure. So, long and storied path. I am 26 now. I started when I was 13, so I have done and tried it all, which is kind of like one of those things that I try to impress to people when they come into the store, because I often hear like, this is the craziest thing you're ever gonna hear. And I'm like, bro, I did that when I was 14 years old. I got you. Let me help you.
Been there.
Yeah, let me help you learn from my mistakes. So anyways, I discovered Wicca. I initiated myself after a year and a day of study when I was like 13. I have always worked with Celtic deities, so primarily the Horned God or Hearn or Cernunnos, whatever you want to call him. He goes by many names. And then, of course, the Morrigan, who is a Irish Celtic war goddess. So those have been my like the two main deities that I have honored throughout my practice. But I also, in more recent times, I would say in the last like 2 to 3 years, have started really connecting with and working with Hecate, the like Greek goddess of the crossroads and necromancy yep. and ghosts and stuff like that. So that's where I get, like, the eclectic sort of side of myself, because it's from two different pantheons, and I feel like it's really hard for me to describe my practice because it is so ingrained in my daily life that it's like, like I do celebrate the equinoxes and I do celebrate the solstices and the cross quarter days and the wheel of the, like all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Before, but it's like super casual.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's really cool. And that's kind of more how my practice outside of my coven and everything does. Very similar, very eclectic. I do go a little more Nordic deities on my solitary work, but also kind of a dash, a little bit of a Hecate. And I just got a new necklace, literally came in yesterday with her symbols and stuff in it, a key, and I want to like cleanse it and everything, but like, I just got that myself, and then with my other statues and just the little things, like usually when I do recordings or I'm working in my office, like I have my various stuff in my altar and stuff too, so it totally makes sense, because sometimes being too precise or too rigid makes you feel like you have to do things a certain way, but when you're all at a certain point, you're just like, fuck it, I'm gonna do what feels right. It feels so much better.
Yeah, I feel like I really enjoyed, in the beginning of my practice, I enjoyed the structure of Wicca.
Yes.
It was really
it's like easy. Learning anything new.
Right, exactly. And it was almost familiar because a lot of the way that they do things is like a church service. Like, if you really, really look at it, there's like, this is how you set up the altar, and this is the Lord and the Lady, and, you know, we call in the north the watchtowers from the north, or like, whatever. So there's like a lot of pomp and circumstance, and like being, I was raised Episcopalian, which is like Catholic light, basically. So I enjoyed that aspect of it. But
yeah, it was familiar still.
Yeah, exactly. As I kind of became more comfortable and learned the rules, then I became more
comfortable. That's when you can break them a bit. Them,
and then eventually abandoning them altogether for my own insanity, perhaps.
Yeah, I think that sounds very... It's funny to call anything of, like, this normal.
No,
but I feel like that is a common path in progression of growth that a lot of people get to, depending on, like, I feel like when you do, for me, with the coven work, having that structure is really good because then you, everyone knows what's going on.
Absolutely.
And, like, how to do things, and it's not just all over the place, and you don't have to, like, relearn a new tradition every couple weeks.
Yes,
sure. But when it comes to solitary work, that's really when people can, like, push those boundaries.
Absolutely.
And the more research you do, if it's from audiobooks to just online or having communal conversations in shops or on Facebook groups or Instagram, as long as people are being civil and like willing to like just hear people out, as long as like everything is like not toxic, like you can learn so much just from hearing other people's opinions and trying things out. So many people are afraid to push those boundaries because they're always like fed the fear of so many things.
Something that I hear a lot is like, I'm afraid I'm going to mess up, or I'm afraid I'm going to like piss off the gods. And like, let me tell you, if I haven't, like, I promise you won't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I do dumb shit constantly. And if I haven't been smited or smote, like if lightning hasn't hit me yet, I think, you know, you're going to be okay if you use a different herb, like, you know, in your folder. Like, it's going to be fine. So I hope that, you know, if people are listening to this and they are feeling like kind of stressed, like, oh, I have to follow the recipe exactly, like, oh, you know, no, you don't. You can make it work for yourself. And I get like, there's like definitely that apprehension. Like, I was there too. Don't get me wrong. But you don't need to spend like $150 on spell kits and herbs to do something successful for yourself or do something that is meaningful, you know, to you and your practice. So
yes, exactly. And going back to how you said a lot of the stuff in your shop is handmade by witches for witches, I try to do some of that too. Like, sometimes I'll get some more like crystal stones. I have a couple like those ravens you see and everything, but like I'll order things on Etsy that look handmade or like they have casts that they made.
Absolutely.
Or I will take pictures online and I've made planks I've put on my wall of pre-existing photos, but then I use tracing paper and then I burn them into it.
Right.
Because then I use traditional style imagery that could be like 100, 200 years old, depending on the sources and stuff. But then you're still using your hand to make it.
You put your own touches to it.
There's nothing wrong with that feel. Yeah. And so that's what I like.
Yeah.
And for a long time, I can't find any statues that I like. And I don't always want to order them from Ukraine. Because I feel like a lot of the statues that are like wood and handmade for a lot of pantheons are all from like Europe. And they take months. They're beautiful. But I'm like, between the cost plus the shipping and the amount of time.
Yeah, it does take
and
a while.
The struggle of getting it out of somewhere and customs as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even worth it at that point when it takes as long as it does sometimes.
I hear ya. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's okay to buy things that may look handmade. Nothing needs to be perfect. You can make it yourself. If you want to go get some air dry clay from the craft store, you could do that too. It doesn't have to. But if you can see your fingerprints in it, and then like once you get over, like, I need to make everything perfect, like some of those become some of the best things to use.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that I've been working on a lot this year is working in a grimoire. Just any. Like, I have like a journal. Like, and it's basically a junk journal at this point, which I love. But being a Virgo, it's very hard for me to not be perfect in things. So this is
same.
Like,
I'm a Virgo as well. I totally get it.
You get it. So you get it, right? So for me, I'm like, okay, this is like the one little space for myself that like I can be messy and imperfect. And it's become like one of my favorite things to work on because it is very like much connected to my practice. I put my tarot readings in there. I put my like, intentions for the month or like notes to therapy, because my therapist is also a witch, because that's just who I am as a person. But it's one of those things that, again, I hear a lot of people like, oh, I'm too afraid to start my grimoire. It's okay. Just start it. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just
I
do anything.
I find myself doing a mix between hand done and printed.
Yes.
Certain things I'll print, and then maybe I'll like, if I like, I'm not gonna hand draw my natal chart.
That'll drive
me crazy.
No, that's not.
So I'll cut it out and then put it in, and then add stickers and draw and like, all around it and note around it.
I have
That's fun. It's like a giant scrapbook. That's kind of how I treat it.
Exactly,
it's like a mix.
Same. I was gonna say it's basically like scrapbooking, but for yourself and your own spirituality. And I think it's. I don't know. I've just rediscovered this side of myself where I'm like, oh, yeah, I do love making grimoires. Like, and you're allowed to have more than one. You can have as many as you want. Like, you can have a whole
I have different things. Like, I have, like, dream journals, divination journals, because I'll have who I do for friends and, like, myself. So I'll have a combo to look back so I don't have to, like, sort through hundreds of pages and books to, like, if I have a friend, it's like, hey, that reading we did last year, can we go over it? And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. I know I can go back this one book to this date, and bam, it's right there.
Yep. My reference book, basically, where I have all of my notes on, like, my deities, the work that I've done already, like, offerings, correspondences. I have my birth chart in there. Just, like, it's a reference. So that way I know, like, this is my black book that I go to when I need correspondences for different herbs and stuff like that. So, but then I have, like,
sometimes we don't have hundreds of books at our will. So if you just need to grab one, you have most of what you need in it.
Exactly.
Yeah, because once you, on a weekly basis, because of the podcast, I have dozens of books out at all times, and sometimes it just absolutely drives me crazy. But so many topics are so niche, I'm not going to be able to fit literally hundreds to thousands of topics in my grimoire.
Or my
Book of Shadows, but like.
Oh, yeah. No,
it does get wild. So like consolidating things.
Yeah.
And sometimes decluttering. And speaking of decluttering, I recently, my work office in my craft room. It's my arts and craft room, my witchy craft room, and my office. So I did a haul of redoing my altar, building a bookshelf, book piles were everywhere, putting a second desk in my office, cleaning out a closet, shifting things around, and it made things feel so much better to get rid of all that crap.
I was gonna say, don't you feel so good now?
It's so good.
Yeah, I did that on leap day, actually. Like, I just lost my mind, and I was like, I need to clean my sacred space right now. So, I did.
Yeah.
And, like, I felt infinitely better. Like, it took me all day, because, like, I'm a pack rat, and I have
It took me, like, a week to, like, it was building some furniture, too, and then the process of waiting for it to come in, but
yes. So yeah, I totally
get that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. 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 Oh my gosh. I feel like sometimes I'm like, I still don't even feel like I made a dent, but then it's like, oh, just get rid of these three boxes that have been sitting there for some other project. Right. And it'll look so much better.
Like, please just find a home for these crafts. Like, yeah, I totally hear you.
Yeah. So when it comes to your witchy side, we talked a little about more about the pagan side. What style do you think your magic is? Is it a little more natural? Is it a mix between ceremonial or anything else? Or is it literally eclectic depending on how you feel?
It is very eclectic depending on how I feel. I will say, that's such a good question. I don't know that anyone has ever asked me about, like, to describe them separately. That's so awesome. So thank you for that. I love ceremonial magic. Like, I love the drama. Like, don't get me wrong. But it is definitely, like, when I think of ceremonial magic, I immediately go to, like, Aleister Crowley, and it's not like that at all. So when I say ceremonial or, like, ritualistic, like, I don't know. I'm, like, a trinket person. Like, I've been doing this for 13 years, so I've collected lots of items. And my goal is always to just make a beautiful space, no matter what. And I think that, you know, that can sometimes be a little bit intimidating for people. Like, you don't ever have to do that, you know, or have your magic look a certain way. I'm just a, like, hoe for aesthetics. But I really, I feel like I have a pretty set, like, routine, I guess. But it's not ever like, it's whatever the situation calls for, I would say. It's not like a very formal thing.
And that sounds like a very healthy way to do that, if that's what works for you, because some people need that constant structure. And then they need that forever, or but then sometimes it's a mix depending on what's going on too, or the seriousness of what you're working on too.
Absolutely. And like, if I were to do maybe like a cord cutting spell or something kind of important to me, you know, I definitely have like my method that I have worked on and I have formulated for myself. And I think that that is also something that's really important for witches in general, is to experiment and to come up with your own spell work and to write your own spell work. Because like, I could pick up any book in the shop and there would be like, you know, one or two little spells that I could do, but it doesn't mean that it has any connection to me necessarily.
Exactly.
Until I, you know, make it my own, until I add my own energy into it.
Which, I agree.
Which, of course, is like how that works, like, obviously. But I think that there, again, is kind of like this, I need to follow the rules. And I'm like, okay, yes, sometimes. But also, you can just commune with the gods. It's fine. Like, you know, it's all good. You don't have to be so stressed out. And I think that that's taken me a lot of time to come to terms with. And I think that has to do with a lot of my own, like, religious trauma and deconstructing from that. And, like, you know, not feeling like I have to live up to the expectation of my deities, and more so that they are just, like, stoked that I am paying attention to them and working on myself. In a very, that's a really informal way to put it. But, you know, I think that it's definitely, as soon as I was able to kind of work through the majority of all of that stuff, I definitely felt more called to listen to my intuition. And a lot of my magic is intuitive, I would say.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think all of those are really important points. And some of the other things that you brought up and I've experienced as well is trying to fight that perfectionism, Virgo or not.
Right.
I have anxiety, so that fighting the anxiety versus what's my intuition. I've also personally had to, like, distinguish the difference between the two. Definitely. Is it my anxiety that's telling me something?
Right.
Or is it the intuition?
Exactly. Because, like, listen, if I listen to my inner voice, it's just going to be like, you're going to die, like, all the time. Because I
all
have
the time.
Yeah, like, you know, but it's a difference between, like, knowing in your body, if that makes sense, and then knowing 100%. With your mind. Because you feel
100%.
It's almost
you
like
do.
I feel it in my solar plexus, like right, like but under my ribs. I don't know how to explain that, but that is usually like when I have that feeling in my stomach of like, oh, this is weird. Like, you know, that's when I'm like, oh,
yeah, it's a slightly different feeling.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
I've been like, sometimes I've been trying to describe before, and sometimes she's like, I don't know, I just know the difference.
Yeah.
And other times, I think it depends on the topic. If it's mostly driven by fear, it's more likely anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
If it's driven by, something seems off, it's probably intuition. It can also be anxiety. Yeah. Intuition can also lead to anxiety, especially if it's something serious.
Right.
Sometimes they go hand in hand. But at the same time, it takes time to get to know your body. But once you figure it out, this is why journaling as well is super important, because then you can look back. Sometimes you can forget and you go, oh, I totally forgot about that. I had to rewrite my divination book because it got ruined. So I had to rewrite about 5 years because I still had plenty of space. So I had about 5 years worth of readings that I rewrote, some of my own, some of them other friends. And I was like, oh, I forgot about this one. Or I knew what they were talking about when we went over it, but I forgot about these details. And then since they were friends, I could like think about, I was like, oh, that did happen. Or, oh,
it was
going down the right path and you had no idea. And it completely makes sense now. Like, one ended up being like an impending breakup that we could have seen. But like at the same time, like I didn't. It's like I didn't want to admit that as well, because I don't want to say, oh, yeah, you're going to break up your person. It's just like it was like you're going to grow.
Yeah.
But it might not be in the way you think and with who. It was something like that. I remember giving it and being like, don't, like, still, it's just this is how it feels in this moment at this particular card.
Right.
There's a little extra that I feel right now that it's just like it's okay to do your thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally feel that for sure.
Yeah, so, oh my gosh. Yeah, getting to know yourself is really important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's completely wild. So, with all the different types of people that come into the shop and that you meet, what would you say some of the coolest reactions that you've gotten from people who may have had, either besides like the moms that are like, oh, this is really cool, my kids like this, what sort of, like, have you seen like any like awakenings from people that just like their eyes just light up and they're like, what, when you realize it yourself, like, this is for me, I found my place, or I found the direction I need to go, or just anything cool or fun like that, like cool energy that you can get.
I mean, that's why I love my job so much. Yeah. And I'm not going to be like, I caused all of this. Like, I'm not going to take credit for any of that, because I'm literally just here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just vibing.
And people are stumbling across.
Right. But they did the work to come to my shop. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here anyways, but they had to Google it, you know.
They had their own journey to get there.
And what I like to say is, like, everyone walks their own paths, but they intersect at my shop, and I'm willing to walk with them side by side no matter where it leads. So I feel like I've like recommended books to people, and I hope that they, like, you know, enjoy them and stuff. But I've definitely had like clients coming back. I have like a good example, I guess. And I don't know that she would mind me talking about this, actually. My assistant, she wasn't super into witchcraft or anything before she started, like, you know, hanging out around the shop, like before I even hired her. But she had gotten out of kind of a tough situation and came in for a reading with me. And it just kind of precipitated into her establishing her own practice. And now she, like I gave her a set of oracle cards the other day, and she was like asking me about like herbs, and she's like making a money jar. Like, it's awesome. So in the past year, I've really seen her, like, step into her own and really kind of become like the green witch, you know, that she is, and that I knew that she was. But it's been really, that's like probably like the biggest example, and like the most, because I see her all the time, so it's like most obvious.
You see it a little more consistent,
but that's been really amazing, and I'm always like so touched and like grateful when people like ask my opinion on stuff. Because I don't know, like, while I am so thrilled that this is my profession, if you had told me this when I was 13 years old, that this was going to be my job, I would have laughed. Like, I would have been like, what are you talking about? I'm never going to be good enough for that. But it doesn't, like, good enough is not a thing. That's like fake. And
yeah,
as long as you are, you know, not hurting yourself or other people, like, you know,
live.
Um, but I'm very grateful for this opportunity and for the opportunity and for people sharing their journey with me. Cause mm-hmm. you know, in my sessions and stuff, in tarot, like I've gotten the privilege to hear people like bare their souls for sometimes the first time ever, you know?
Yeah.
And that is such a gift. Like, I don't know that they know that, but it is such mm-hmm. a beautiful moment. And I just hope, like, you know, that my work is helpful for them too.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't want to assume anything, you know, but I just hope that it is.
Yeah. That sounds really cool. So you mentioned sometimes you'll recommend books to some people that come in. What are some of the most popular books that either you go through or that you recommend, or both, if they're very similar?
So I always try to tailor it to whatever the person is looking for. Mm-hmm. Some of the more popular books that we sell, Psychic Witch by Matt Oren, mm-hmm. is a fabulous book, and his follow-up, Making Magic.
Yep.
So they, like, it's like a black book and a white book. Fabulous.
Yep.
My friend Amy Blackthorne has a wonderful protection magic book mm-hmm. that I really recommend. She's come out and talked about protection magic and self-defense, like, you know, mm-hmm. for pagans, which is amazing. And so I was really blessed to have her here. And the other one that I really recommend to people, like, who are just kind of starting out, is The Year of the Witch by Temperance Alden. Yep. And I think that gives a really good, like, secular
yep. kind of I have that one actually on right here next to me because I was using it.
For people who are kind of starting to start their practice but don't want, like, Wicca, you know? Which is totally yeah. fine. Well, like, and I just really enjoy it. Other books I recommend are, like, Scott Cunningham's, like, Encyclopedia mm-hmm. of Magical Herbs. Yeah. You know.
They're good references to have yeah, and everything absolutely. If you're just looking for quick so, to have.
Lots of reference books. We also have, like, for chaos magic, I have, like, Liber Null and Liber Chaos. Mm-hmm. For ceremonial magicians, I am starting to, like, source, like, old grimoires, like, from Europe. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, copies, obviously. But that is kind of coming in next. I really want to get into, like, old texts, like, first edition, like,
yeah.
Like, primary sources and stuff like that. Yeah. So having a copy of, like, the Orphic Hymns or, you know, the Eleusinian Mysteries, like, written down and translated, like, it would just be cool.
That's cool. That's really cool. So one of the last few things I think that would be good to go over is that you went over some books that you would recommend yeah. or that are popular. Besides what we've already talked about and some of the obvious things that everyone tells everybody who's interested or going through their path, what advice would you give, say, three different pieces of advice? They can be quick or they can be complicated, on things that you find very important that they might not find right away and say, like, beginner books yeah. or, like, immediately, that are actually pretty important and sometimes people find later.
Yeah. So the number one thing is deconstruct your relationship with whatever previous religion that you yep. adhered to. Now in America and in my case, like, it was Christianity, like, it was Episcopalianism. Yep. And I think the hardest part for me, well, I mean, I it wasn't leaving the church. Don't get me yeah. wrong. Like, that, I was basically like, bye.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go worship goddesses and, like, the moon and shit. But for me, it was, like, the perfection aspect of it and, like, yep. not wanting to disappoint deities. Like, that was, mm-hmm. like, such a
big, that guilt.
Yeah, like, the guilt, like, that. And maybe, again, maybe that's, like, the Catholic guilt, like, kind of thing. But I really, it's just something that I see constantly where it's just like, I'm so afraid I'm going to mm-hmm. get smited. And I know we talked about that earlier, but, like, I think a lot yep. of that comes down to still, or, like, not fully detaching yourself from that previous belief system, which is a big task. Like, I had to go to therapy for it. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not just like,
it's not always quick.
No, it's definitely not. But if you are cognizant of how you are reacting to certain new topics or new things that you're being introduced to, like meditation or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, and you're kind of feeling like this, oh, I don't know, I shouldn't be, or like tarot, that's actually probably a better one. Like, tarot reading is, like, a really big, because that's, like, that's the devil's work, you know, like, that's not allowed.
Yeah.
But it's just a card game. So once you kind of, like, you know, separate yourself from that, like, hey, you know, remember, I don't believe in hell anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it becomes a lot easier, for sure. So number one, deconstruct from whatever previous religious system and, like, really, really go deep on that one if you can, because yep. I think that, like, freeing yourself from that can be one of the biggest, like, helpers or biggest ways that you can move forward in your path. But again, this mm-hmm. is, like, that's a big project. So
yep.
be gentle with yourself. The second piece of advice is be discerning about who you're listening to.
Yes.
I have seen a lot of misinformation, like, put out on the internet. And yep. I love that witchcraft has become so popular. Because back when I started, mm-hmm. like, I had the public library, like, the four books that were there, and, like, Angel Fire websites, and, like, Witchvox, and, like, Forum. Oh,
that's how I found my coven back in the day, was Witchvox.
Literally, I remember being so upset, because I wasn't 18, so I couldn't join any of the coven. And I was like, why not? But as an adult, I get it. Please.
Yes.
Know, whatever. But I, Witchvox was, that was it. Like, that was it. So with this advent of witchcraft and I think, you know, the internet really popularizing it, I feel like there are people, how do I put this? Like, cause credentials don't necessarily, like, I don't want to be like, oh, you have to have your doctorate in witchcraft, like, you know, to be believed. But if something seems weird, or, like, if someone is saying, like, hey, this is a fact in witchcraft, I would just double check it. Because sometimes yes. people will, like, present their own practice as fact. And, like, maybe yes. that's fact to them. And that's totally cool. I'm not saying that that's, like, wrong. But yep. you also, as a practitioner, deserve the space to create your own, like, energetic flow, create your own spell yes. work. And, sometimes it's just good to be discerning about, like, what people are saying or how they are influencing your practice. Because sometimes there are people in this community, as much as I would love to be like, it's all great, everyone's friends. Like, there are people are people. And, like, sometimes.
Yeah. Not everyone know. Has your best Correct. Intentions in mind. Right. Or maybe they're mistaken. There's been times where over the years I had, I was like, oh, this, I've done this, or, like, yeah. had a different view on something, and then I learned something new. A right. new bit of history comes out. A new paper comes out. Right. A new book comes out, and it completely changes my perspective on things. I've redone whole episodes from years ago, mm-hmm. or removed an entire, just a single line for an episode, and I'm like, no, I need to remove that.
Yeah.
Because I do not feel like it's relevant or important anymore.
Right. And I think that that is also something that is really important to remember, that as our understanding of ancient beliefs and ancient practices evolves as well, and yeah. not even ancient, like, current beliefs, like, especially mm-hmm. when we're talking about, like Afro-Caribbean spirituality. Like, I'm half Puerto yep. Rican, you know, so I know a little mm-hmm. bit about that, but, like, that's still, like, a common thing that is, like, appropriated or misconstrued. Yeah. So I really, like, I think that it's super important just to, yeah, like, to know the context and also be okay with, like, shifting your beliefs, like, yeah. you know.
It's okay to change what you're doing, and if your beliefs changed once, they can change again.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and the third piece of advice, like, I guess, and this is kind of maybe funny, like, coming from a metaphysical shop owner, but it's like, this stuff doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg.
It does not.
Something that I really dislike is when I go into a shop and someone, because this has happened to me, where, yeah. You know, someone will come up to me and be like, you need this crystal. And I'm like, first of all, Whoa. I don't need shit. And I'm going to leave. But that kind of stuff where it's like this like $500 crystal is going to, like,
it's like predatory.
Your depression. It's like, all right, like, let's chill out.
Yeah.
And I think that there is definitely, like, a draw to have the aesthetic stuff. But, like,
yeah.
most of the things that I have found, one, I've collected, like, over mm-hmm. a decade, you know?
Yeah.
But a lot of it comes from thrift stores or, like, yep. swap meets, you know? Like, yep. I'm an old punk. Like, I don't, like, what are you talking about? I'm not trying to pay, like, I'm not going to antique stores all the time. Shit.
Yeah.
You know? So I hope that people know that, like, your practice does not, well, it certainly doesn't have to look like mine, because I'm a crazy person and, like, love shiny things, but it doesn't have to look like anyone else's. Like, we see all these beautiful, elaborate altars, like, on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube. And, like, I love that. I love seeing it. It's so beautiful, and there's so much artistry. But, like, if your parents are going to throw you out if you do that, don't do it. You know?
Exactly. Like, you can do It'll that be later. There later when it's safe.
Right, exactly. So don't feel like, you know, oh, just because I have, like, all of my stuff in a shoebox or whatever that I can only take out on the full moons and new moons when my door's locked. And I used to do that too. That was like probably the first couple years of my practice, to be honest with you, when I was, you know, a minor living with my parents. So there's no rush, shame, or need to be anywhere in your practice that you aren't, you know, like enjoy it for where it is, because I didn't. I rushed through the beginning of my practice a lot, and I really wish I had enjoyed the magical moments that I did experience, because it is indescribable, like, the first time a spell works, you know?
Yep.
So I just wish I had, I mean, whatever, I was a kid, but, you know, I wish I had sat with that a little bit longer. And if I can recommend that to people, especially as adults, pace yourself. Like, there's no rush.
Yes, especially when you do have a lot of other things going on, especially for adults.
Yes.
Like, how we perceive our time in other things as a teenager versus adult are so different. Besides that, the fact when you get older, everything feels 10 times faster. Like, I'll look at the clock and it's 3 p.m. Next thing I know, it's 9:30. I'm like, I gotta go to bed.
I thought that was a joke, you know? Like, when all my old coworkers who were in their, like, 40s, 50s, 60s were like, oh, yeah, time speeds up. I'm like, ha-ha, bullshit. It does. And I hate it.
You blink and it's the end of the day. And you're like, what the hell? Yeah. I got nothing done.
I mean, I didn't even really celebrate Ostara this year. Like, with the spring equinox. Because, like, I am tired. Like, and that's okay. And I think knowing when to...
I'm exhausted. And this is only day 2 of the retrograde. We haven't even hit the solar eclipse.
I don't even...
And the comet.
I don't even...
And, like, I don't... Unless I'm doing coven work, I don't... purposely focus on, like, I have to do a full moon ritual, I have to do this. I do that with my coven.
Yeah.
But when it's at home, I do it my personal things, like smaller things. And I don't do spells at home unless I absolutely need it or I'm trying to boost something. I do more like deity candles more often or like candles for other people.
Yeah, I love
that. So like prayer candles or meditations more than like straight spells. I do a lot of research. I do small things, but I'm not doing these large crazy things. I have to do it on this mood and do this. I'm like, I don't got time or energy for that.
Right.
I have a full-time 40 plus hours a week with my own everything else, cleaning the
house. Right.
I got shit to do.
Yeah, I have things to do. Like, I love my ancestors, love them. Pop, love you. But I'm a business owner. Like, sometimes I don't get home until 10:30 at night, and honestly, you need to honor your body too. You know, you need to honor your physical body as much as your spiritual body. So it's really,
because if one or the other isn't taken care of, it can completely spiral and fry you.
You're gonna feel like shit, and like your magic isn't gonna be great because you're tired. So like, maybe just like take a nap, have a snack, and then cast later. It's all good.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, if you just need to read a chapter, read one chapter or one page. Yeah. Like, if that's all you can handle, don't push yourself too hard.
Exactly.
Yeah, but okay, well, thank you for coming on today. I would love to have you to come back on in the future, but this is an awesome conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always so nice talking to other practitioners, because I'm like,
I know.
Aha, you don't think I'm crazy, and I don't have to explain every other word that I'm saying.
Like, right? You're like, yes, I'm not as weird as everyone thinks I am. Wow.
Yes.
But
this is amazing. Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate
thank
it.
You. But thank you for all the listeners who got to the end of this episode. I hope you enjoy it. And like I say every week, I appreciate every single one of you. Have a great one. Blessed be.
Bye.